Hey, hello everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Deeper Podcast. I'm Austin Slater. That's Dan Kinnis. We hope you guys are staying cool. As we're recording this on Monday morning, the heat index is set to get over 100 degrees, which is approximately 30 degrees too many, in my opinion. But Dan, how are you doing? How's this week been?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. Yeah, like you said, this is unusual for us in West Michigan to get this heat wave, and we're still in June, pretty early, but here we are, and we're in a nice space. Hopefully, yeah, as Austin said, you're staying cool. If you're out working, take some breaks, get some water. Yeah, summer will be up and down like it always is, yeah. I'm sure, around here.
Really hoping that we're getting all of our extra hot days out now before we do the outdoor services.
Yeah, yeah.
But Dan, we are in a new series, and I do want to apologize to everyone. We did miss last week, just some scheduling errors, and we couldn't really, like, actually record it. But we are in a new series now. This is the second week of the new series. So Dan, can you just explain the series and kind of what led us to this point?
So yes, we are in summer now, and typically we've had some sort of summer series the years I've been here at Friendship. And the last several years, especially as we've tied in with doing some outdoor worship, we've tried to have some sort of theme, you know, large biblical theme, and something that was easy to connect with because during the summer, people have vacation and you're coming and going, but series that you could just kind of, yeah, if you missed a week, it wasn't so bad to pop back in. So we've done things connected with water, the image of water throughout scripture. We did some trees, food, I think was last year. And so we were contemplating, well, what maybe will we do this year? And the image of clothing or being clothed kind of came to the forefront. And the more we looked into it, the more you realize, oh, there's an awful lot of passages that deal either with physical clothing, like that's a big part of the story, or obviously have that kind of spiritual metaphor image going on about being clothed or, you know, being clothed with Christ or this kind of character. And so, yeah, we're going to plan to just kind of make our way. We'll kind of go chronologically, as it were, through the Old Testament and then kind of halfway through transition to the New and do some stories and texts from the New Testament as well. So we began that last Sunday, just over a week ago, at the beginning in Genesis 2 and 3. And, yeah, found right at the outset there's this image of clothing that's there right at the beginning. As Adam and Eve are naked and then, of course, fall into sin, they realize they're naked and they try to clothe themselves with fig leaves. Doesn't really work super great, and then God at the end makes a sacrifice to clothe them with animal skins, much more effective clothing, and seeing not just the physical part there, well, that's there too, but also this points to the spiritual clothing we need, God to cover our guilt and shame and sin, and so starting with that thread there, and then this week we went just a little ways ahead in Genesis to the story of Jacob and Esau, and their kind of tangle for the blessing in the family there, and part of the story is Jacob putting on Esau's best clothing in order to trick their father, Isaac, into giving him the blessing. He's not the oldest child. And to receive that, really, we talked about the blessing being kind of God's clothing, right? And here's the promise that God's working in the family and bringing about. And so just that human tendency there to try and take matters into our own hands, as we saw back in the Garden of Eden. And yet God's plans at work here, and just that interaction that's still in play, even in a different era now, post the work of Jesus Christ and the cross. But yet there's still that interaction we feel in the church and in the world. Our plans and God's plan. Us trying to clothe ourselves, and we know we need to be clothed by God. And so how does that work together, and how do we trust more of God's plan? So got into that some, and we'll continue exploring this thread as the summer goes on, probably in different
exploring
ways.
Exploring this thread.
Yes, I can't help myself, right? So, yes, you know, we want to dress ourselves in it. But so sometimes we'll focus, you know, we brought in a little bit of the physical clothing aspect this week and how often we try to physically dress ourselves in maybe certain personas or ways maybe that we aren't really, just to try and, yeah, build ourselves up more. And so there's things to learn about our physical dress and how we go about that, and, of course, our relationship with the Lord and spiritual dress, too. So, yeah, looking forward to the summer ahead also, exploring some of those stories and texts. And but, yeah, let's talk some more about this week.
Yeah, let's do it. So I'd love to start off with one of our first points that we talked about this week, which ties in a lot to last week, being that God's plan to clothe his children with blessing is at work, but we are still prone to our fig leaf plants. And that's just, I think that's so true if you have an ounce of self-reflection capability.
Yeah.
Like, we are always trying to put our plans first and do what works for us. But it's really easy to think we're following God's plan while we're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think especially if we have been in the church for a very long time, we know the language
mm-hmm.
of like how to think about God's plan and how to talk about God's plan. And it can be really easy to kind of like slide our plan in there and dress it with, you know, the language of God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like this is something we do intentionally. Mm-hmm. None of us are like intentionally being like, yes, I am going to intentionally lie to myself, to God, to our community about mm-hmm. whose plan this is. No one intentionally is the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
But this is something that we are prone to, especially in our sin nature. So I'm wondering if you have any insights in how we can discern what God's plan is, especially if our plans really do seem to line up with his.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know if, you know, our plans are in alignment or if this is us adopting the language of God's plan for ours?
Mm-hmm. Part of the good news is we live in this era. We talked about Pentecost not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, and the Holy Spirit's presence with us and within us. So we do have the gift of God's leading through the Spirit. And so maybe a new opportunity for our plans to be much more in tune with God's plan. But as Austin said, we still have to be aware of our tendency to get off track and start going our own way or to kind of just, like we said, kind of put God's name on our plans. Be like, oh, of course, this must be what God wants too. So what Austin said there, I think, is a great lead-in. If I'm actually trying to discern if this is God's plan, you're on the right path.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, are you doing that, right? Am I doing that in my life? Because that's when I'm in trouble. I'm not even engaging, really. Mm-hmm. Or if I'm reading scripture, I'm not really asking myself the hard questions. I'm kind of thinking, like, how does this fit with my plan? How's it backing that up? I'm just going to read passages that back up what I want to do or make me say, looking at other people, they have it wrong. When first and foremost, when I interact with God in the Word, it's a word he's speaking to me. It's supposed to shape and mold me and cut me and maybe make me look at my plan and say, oh, that was about me. I felt great about it. But, you know, when I go about it, it's not going to be reflecting God's character. It's really just me relying on myself, not relying on his grace. We've been going through 2 Corinthians in our evening time, and some of that came up this week, right? And I think those measures are right. If my plan, the thing I'm going about, is leading me away from God's character, I'm acting not out of love, I'm not being gracious to others, I'm not exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, okay, this is not then in tune with God's plan, because clearly that's how he's calling us to live. So that self-examination, you use that word, Austin, right at the outset, self-reflection, that is a good practice for us to be thinking, you know, I feel convicted. This is where God's leading me. Well, how did I reach that conclusion? Was that just, yeah, I felt good about it. It's something that made sense to me. Have I interacted with God in prayer about it? Have I been reading scripture and reflecting on what I'm thinking about doing? Because we want to test those things from God's word, in his presence, from his character. That helps us stay on track because, again, naturally, I'm going to always be self-affirming. No, of course I'm right. Of course
right.
This is a good plan. It feels good. It seems right to me. And that's where even our own conscience, we have to be aware of that. Like, wow, I feel great.
Yeah.
Austin didn't like it, but I'm convicted it was good. And okay, well, what is God saying into that? And how is he speaking into it? So that, I think, is important because, again, and sometimes, Lord willing for us, we're not maybe way off. We're not like
right.
on a whole different track here than God is, but we're just diverting a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to try to be aware of that and try to, catch that before it gets further off track. You think of Jacob and Esau and Isaac and Rebekah. This has obviously been decades
mm-hmm.
that they've been running on different tracks where Isaac's all with Esau and Rebekah's all with Jacob and they got this and they're always trying to work it out for the other one. And it gets to this point where it's blown up to really big problems in the family, unfortunately. And yeah, we talked about that in the sermon, just like, oh, they're kind of just taking God's plan in whatever way they want it to go.
Yeah, and that actually ties in perfectly to what I'd like to ask you about next. Because when it seems like God's plan isn't coming into fruition in the way that we think it should,
mm-hmm.
in the way that makes sense to us, we really do like to step in and hurry it along or change the path. Part of that's just natural human nature. We have, mm-hmm. you know, plans for our lives, and then things go wrong, we try and set those right. And at some level, that that's it's good and right to try and, you know, if something breaks, you try and fix it. But on the other hand, there is this tendency for us to be like, oh, this thing is happening, and this does not seem, you know, like the way God wants it. God would want it to happen. You see that especially with Rebecca and Jacob most clearly, but this is something we all do. You know, putting on, using the phrases from the sermon, putting on our sinful clothing to accomplish goals we see as the Lord's. Is there ever a time, Dan, where we can or should say, I need to do X action in order to accomplish what we see as God's will, or, you know, this approach, this avenue, this way that God's will is happening, it may have worked in the past, but things are different now. You know, things work differently than they did in, you know, Rebecca and Jacob's time, for instance. How do we, I guess the question is kind of more like, how do we know when we should step in and correct, or if we should step in and correct what is happening?
Yeah, when is some action necessary? I think it, you know, to start off there, like, I believe at times it is, clearly. And clearly, especially in the Old Testament, when God was communicating this way, he clearly vocalizes that at times to leaders like David or Moses or Abraham or whoever it might be that, yes, you need to do this. What I'll note there is that typically they were asking God for that direction. That's maybe a good place to start. You know, Rebecca doesn't do any of that, right? There wasn't, God, you said that the older was going to serve the younger here, but now Isaac and Esau are making this plan. How are you going to work this out? Should I need to do something here? No, she just takes action herself and gets it, you know, this leads to a big problem in the family, clearly. And there's Jacob gets the blessing, but has to flee for decades to another part of the world. We see, like, David at other points, and we get a good picture of David's journey. A lot of times along the way when he's going well, he's asking God, God, should I go up to this Philistine camp? Should I do this? And God will say, yes, you need to do that. No, Saul's intention is not good for you. You do not want to go there. And so he gets that, what action do I need to take here? He's been anointed to be the king. God's will has been made clear. He could have killed Saul at certain points. He had him, and even his men are like, what are you doing? The Lord gave him into your hands, but he said, no, this is not the way. This would be out of God's character. And I think that story of David's a good example overall of our wrestling with when do we take action. And for one thing, if it leads us to act outside of the character of God, sometimes we just say, well, the end, that justifies the means. And basically it's saying like, yeah, I know, I was violent there, or I lied, or whatever the inappropriate action is, but we needed to get to this point. As Christians, we need to think about that, right? We're not governments. I know sometimes there's choices as the lesser of two evils. There are spots where it's just not good, and you have to decide. But a lot of times, it's just us wanting to get ahead and or have the plan come to in our timing, in our way. People aren't believing enough. They just need to be told what to do and forced into it. Well, that maybe is not going to work very well, or it might work for a time, but it's going to lead us to act in a way and present the gospel in a way that is not helpful and is not actually in God's character. And so that asking, and not just asking of God in prayer, but I hope in the community, having conversations and talking about that together to discern the Spirit's leading together. Because again, Austin and I might separately think like, oh, this is a great idea. But we come together and I say, Austin, what about this? We need to do this. And Austin says, well, that might, I see where you're going, but that action, that might not be fitting for us to do it that way. And okay, maybe, you know, as we discern together, God's will comes to the surface as well. That's why we're not like a one-man council here, or one-man staff, or one-person staff, that kind of thing. So I think that's an important piece to kind of slow ourselves up and to see what's the motivation behind this. Again, is it self-interest in mind? A lot of times, you know, Rebecca, I think, had that prophecy in mind. She knew what God had said. It was just, well, he must need my help. Yeah. You know, I think we hear that a lot in this day.
I'm fulfilling his, like, this action is how it's going to happen. And I think inserting ourselves into the story where we are not inserted originally explicitly,
right,
I think can be a tendency. The phrase that I hear cycled around a lot is main character syndrome.
Yeah.
You know, we all kind of think we're the main character sometimes, and that we are the tool.
Right.
And sometimes I think it's much more Christ-like to sit back and let you know, let God choose his tools and not force our way into the conversation.
Oh, yeah, and he's going to make it clear, right? And God's always at work. That's part of what we're talking about. And he's doing this. One of the great mystery philosophical questions is, well, God had said the older is going to serve the younger. How would that have happened if not for this deception? I mean, we don't have an answer there. It's this is what happened, and God worked it out through it. But what if they hadn't done that? Well, we trust
might it have been a healthier one.
Right. We trust he would have worked it out in some way. But I think for us, then, it's the lesson of, and seeing the outcome. Like, this led to pain. We mentioned the Ishmael story, too, with Abraham and Sarah. Like, well, this has taken a while. And in some ways, as we talk about even conflicts today in the region of the Middle East, what Scripture says there is like, well, that's what's going to be a result. These generations are going to keep fighting. And it's like, well, yeah, we don't have good outcomes when we try to take matters into our own hands. Even if the goals are good, right? There's a misplaced zeal at times. Mm-hmm. I think Paul would have even said that as he was persecuting the church. Like, I thought this was God's plan, and but I was just off. I had mixed a couple of things. And so, there's just a good, how can we check ourselves in that? And again, looking at the character that's going to come out of this, it should have been clear, right? Like, oh, this, even with Jacob saying like, well, I don't know if Dad realizes I'm tricking him here. It's probably not going to go well. Maybe this isn't a good idea. No.
That's one of the things that I can't imagine sitting thinking like, oh, yeah, for sure, this will like have no negative ramification. It's like I'm putting on my brother's clothes. He's literally going to come back in an hour.
Right. Like, or even the text, it's great storytelling, but like just when he left, Esau comes back. Like you could totally see a movie scene with that. Like, oh man, the music's going up and Esau's coming back. Is Jacob going to get out of there? And he just slips out just in time. And maybe you see some of God's hand in that, right? Mm-hmm. It didn't matter what Isaac was going to try with his plan to kind of anoint Esau there. It was going to happen this way, one way or another, right? But a lot of mystery there. Mm-hmm. But I think that idea of trying to usurp God's timing, right? We're trying to bring in the kingdom ourselves, so to speak. That's maybe the language of our day. Okay, well, God brings in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. He does that, he wants to work through us, but certainly we want to live in his character. And so discerning together, what does that look like? How are we doing it? What's my role? What's Austin's role? What's maybe your role in this? What does that look like? So
yeah,
big topic. Lots of learning for us to do.
It's almost like there's a lot of learning in all of Scripture, and no matter how much time we spend on it, we're never going to learn enough.
Yeah, yeah, lifetime of learning,
absolutely.
For sure.
I'd love to get into the blessing element here specifically, because one of the points that we were talking about like towards the end was like what the blessings of God can look like,
mm-hmm.
and what God's intention with blessing is versus kind of what our intention with blessing is. And one of the points that you made was that God would clothe or bless not just us, but the neighbors around us as well. And this is something, you know, we're like, obviously, you know, God's blessing is for all people, but we really like to draw rigid lines about who gets blessings.
Mm-hmm.
This is something we see in this story, obviously, very specifically, like we're trying to get the blessing for this person and not this person. But this is something that if we zoom out a little bit, we definitely still do this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in regards to our neighbors, one of the things that I've heard discussed that I've said sometimes myself, you know, is, well, you know, I've got all these neighbors here, but they're not living faithfully,
mm-hmm.
or they're not living in a way that is Christ-like or biblical as I understand it. So why would God, and then why should I try and bring blessing to people who aren't living faithfully, who aren't living according to the directives of God? And then following up on that, is there a standard of living that people need to live up to before we try and do this blessing?
Mm.
Like, how do we know when to bless?
Mm-hmm. So this was flowing out of the fact that Esau, of course, is desperate for some blessing at the end. Jacob's gotten it, can't be undone. And, Isaac's like, I don't have much left. And it's not a great blessing he gives to Esau. You know, you're going to live away from the dew of the land, but there is some hope in it. He does still speak some blessing into Esau's life. And just seeing there the picture of what God had said to Abraham and his plan, I'm going to bless the nations. He is going to work through Jacob, through Israel, chiefly, especially as we come to Christ. But that blessing then is meant to radiate out. We see that, of course, largely in the New Testament. But there's prophecies about Edom, Esau's descendants, all throughout the Old Testament too. And their connection, and God's going to draw them in. And there's downsides as well, but that's kind of what prompted this kind of point in thinking that you know, God has more children, right, out there, right? And we don't know who he's calling home, who he's going to clothe in his eternal blessing, but we're just called to be people that are looking to bless others as well. And this is a theological discussion. There's even in this area, there's been churches that have had disagreements over the issue of common grace and how God does bless those who believe or don't believe. For us, we believe in common grace. God, you know, talks about it in Scripture. Cause my rain to fall on the just and the unjust, the wicked, the evil, and those who are my children, right? A picture of God is not choosy with that blessing, at least in general, right? Obviously, we talk about salvation in a little different way. But for us in our lives, I believe that leads us to say that, well, we need to bless. It doesn't matter, oh, this person went to church a few times, so now I can bless them. Or I've seen this evidence, they're, you know, kind of whatever judgment I'm using it for it, a good person. And so I'll seek to be kind to them and bless them. You know, or I think we're called to also motivated by the gospel to bless others so that they would see some of the good news of Christ. They would see the character of God and how he wants to clothe us. And Lord willing, that they would say, we, like Esau, we want to have blessing too. We need to live under God's blessing. But we don't get to decide, you know, well, we think this person might deserve it or that person deserves it, and this one doesn't. We're called to just live that way. There are times when maybe that's getting rejected, right? We're trying to bless others, and we don't want anything to do with you. And I think Scripture says, okay, well, at that point, you've worked, and they've cut that off. Like, okay, that's something they got to swear with God. But as far as it depends on us, right, we're called to live that way, I believe, scripturally, toward those around us. Even when we think, boy, I don't know, this person seems pretty far from God right now. We never know how God might work, right? We all start out far from God. This family, Jacob and Esau, Abraham was far from God until he called him. And then God works through that family. So you never know how God might call someone, get their attention, be able to reclothe them in his blessing again. So, yeah, I believe that we don't have that that right to say, like, well, I can judge, you know, based on who should receive this, who shouldn't, kind of thing.
Well, and I think it's so important, that distinction you make between the blessing of salvation and all of these other blessings that can exist. Because obviously, like, the only blessing that, like, God alone can give is that blessing of salvation and eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. That's not something we have. But again, we are not told to not, again, we're not told to not bless people. Like, this is supposed to be something we do. And so I think we so often are like, well, you know, like, I can only bless people if they're saved because this is the blessing, you know, the biggest blessing that can give. And we forget sometimes that blessings are not necessarily just salvation.
Right.
Like there's so many other, like you're talking about this common grace. There's so much more. And I think also coming from a missionary background, I think it's so important that we remember that, like, even especially sometimes here in the United States, in an area that is very heavily Christian, there's three churches on this four-way intersection here, that there's still people that, like, need Jesus and need to be blessed in ways that are not just in the salvific sense. And expanding our view, I think, is really important if we're trying to bring people into the church.
Well, and that, seeing that too as a means for them to perhaps come to know the salvific blessing of God. I mean, we've talked about that before. A lot of mission work, you know, begins with meeting a physical need. You know, this week we were talking about one of the missions we support and helping with agriculture, and sometimes it's bringing water, clean water, to places that need it. Could be medical help, right? Physical needs can open the door to people receiving spiritually what they need. Even the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts. You see that connection there. And I think for us to know, and we saw it actually in the blessing that Jacob receives, that God has our back in this. As we go about that mission, he says, and he said it to Abraham, I'm going to bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. It's God saying, I'm with you in this. You don't have to worry. You're secure with me. Yeah, people are coming after you, and you're trying to bless others, and they're cursing you and coming after you and fighting, persecute. You know, God says, I'm with you like that. Don't worry. I see this big picture of things. I am just. Justice will be done. And so we don't have to worry about, oh, but what if I bless the wrong person? No, God sees. He knows. He's calling us to trust him, to live out his character. And yes, and to desire that all people would come to a saving knowledge of God and come to know that clothing in their life. But as Austin said, we don't get to decide that. We're just called to be putting out the good news and understanding. Yeah, sometimes it'll be received well, sometimes not. But that doesn't mean we get to decide whether we are going to do it or not.
Yeah. What can we be looking forward to in our next service?
We're going to be in Genesis one more time here, because another, I think, well-known clothing story that comes up shortly after Jacob and Esau with Jacob's son, Joseph. And probably can guess where we're going there, the early part of Joseph's life when he's gifted by Jacob with this amazing
technicolor
robe.
Dream coat.
Technicolor, perhaps. And maybe we'll talk about some of, like, what is this coat he was giving him? Why was it so significant? We'll talk about, again, our human relationships and how it can get so muddled as we try to clothe ourselves and obviously favoritism and jealousy with the brothers there, generation repeating itself, but also seeing, yeah, what's God doing in the midst of this, and how is he working still his plan, right? We want to keep seeing that thread as we go through too. So that's where we're going to go, Genesis 37, this coming Sunday morning.
Wonderful. Well, I'm looking forward to it, Dan. Thank you for your time. Thanks to all of you who have spent this time with us. It is always such a joy and a privilege. And we will talk with you again next time.